So good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin. We're live at our 9 o'clock slot on a Sunday morning. We are today talking about something that I wrote called How to Know When You're Wounded, just a small article on this topic of wounding. This Sunday, I'm coming to you from Findhorn in Scotland, and I'm staying with my sister and my brother-in-law. My husband Matthew's here, and my sister and Robert's children are here. And we are here for a Scottish New Year. So it's very beautiful. It gets very dark very early and doesn't get light until about 8 something. So it's quite something waking up in the dark. So this is where we are for New Year. And I've scrambled about trying to make the internet work as well, which has been really quite interesting. So I've kind of slightly feel quite disheveled as well, because I attended to the fact that I could get on the internet, but I haven't quite attended to having a shower and sorting myself out yet. So you're getting a morning version of Lizzie. I'm very, very happy to be here, though. Very happy, as always, to feel into the possibilities of this and to be in this particular conversation about wounding, which is one that I feel is really important in all of our worlds.
So good morning from me too. I'm feeling unreasonably thrilled about doing this, as I have done every week. It's wonderful to see you, Lizzie. And one of the things I've been enjoying about doing these conversations together is our attempt not to make them shiny and polished. So, of course, we never know what we're going to say, but it's quite something that you're in your Christmas house with members of your family going up and down the stairs, and these conversations come in one way or another right from in the middle of life and in the middle of our lives, and that's very much the point of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always aware of us doing the best we can to have this work and not be interrupted, but appreciating just the genuineness, the sort of simple straightforwardness of doing it this way. Mm. Makes it so much easier for us to do as well. You know, we can just talk. So I may cough my way through this. This has been going on for a couple of weeks. I've still in the last stages of what's been a nasty cold, and I will try not to cough and splutter more than is absolutely necessary. I'm thinking about, I don't know why this is coming to mind for me before we start into this morning's source, but there's a jazz musician whose work I really love, who, when he plays big concerts, he has this rule that nobody should cough. And if anybody coughs in the middle of the performance, he'll stop it.
In the audience?
Yeah, in the audience. He stops, he gets up from his piano, and he says, coughing is voluntary. I won't continue until people stop coughing. Well, I think he says, get it done now. Get the coughs out now. Out of the way, and then I'll continue. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to live up to that standard which he sets, which is fine.
Do you know, Justin, it reminded me of something in our family. So I think maybe we've talked about this before. We have a tendency to like have hysterical laughter in the most inappropriate moments. So when we were little, we developed this thing of getting your laughs out. So before we'd go into somewhere where we thought was really dangerous territory, we'd all stand outside the venue or whatever and go, It never worked.
Of course it never worked.
We might be able to get it out, then it would, like, the whole situation wouldn't be as bad as it had been previously or whatever. And but
so we'll get our coughs out and our laughs out before we begin this conversation about wounding. So this morning's source is something, Lizzie, that you wrote, which is why I am going to start with reading it. And I'm so glad we're talking about this topic this morning, because I think so many of us feel wounded a lot of the time and we don't even know it. And it shapes so much of how we are with one another in our families and in our work and just as we go about the world. And I've been thinking a lot about how this topic might have, almost certainly it has so much to do with what happens in our immediate lives, in the lives around us, how we orient to ourselves and how we orient to other people, but also how in the big sweep of society and politics, and big changes in the world, how much of it comes from our feeling of being wounded and wanting to address our wounds and not even knowing that we're hurt. And that's why it's so important to talk about. And what you've written is really so beautiful as well. So I think I'll start and we can alternate and see where we get to, and then we'll get talking. So what you wrote begins with this very amazing line from the poet Rumi. The wound is the place where the light enters you. How to know when you're wounded. Many times we think the world is doing something to us. We feel like victims, and we can't work out why on earth these experiences would happen to us when they hurt so much. We feel like victims when the world is not perfectly attuned to us, what we need, how we want to be met and seen.
And the piece of vital information that we're rarely taught is that a lot of the time, the people in our lives are unconsciously, not on purpose, tapping into old wounds that originate from when we were little. These people might be our children, our partners, people at work, our parents. The closer we are to the people who hurt our feelings, the deeper the potential for wounding. The more that's at stake, the more likely the wound triggered is to be deep.
So I thought it would be good to speak about all the ways we might know when we're wounded. And that way we can begin to figure out how to work with these parts of ourselves, these young, vulnerable and wounded parts of ourselves that need our care, our attention and our holding. When we're wounded, we're something like a combination of the following: rageful, inarticulate, fierce, withdrawn, given up, I'm out of here, I want to obliterate them, I feel unseen, blameful, inwards and outwards, collapsed, frozen, shameful, angry, frustrated, fearful. Our reaction is way out of proportion to the event, or not holding back. I can't hide any of it.
Much of our lives are maneuvered around avoiding this wounding. Many of us are walking around and arranging our lives so we don't have to face any of this horribleness. But we all know the feeling. We've all had experiences that really hurt. Some of us may see we're in a state of perpetual wounding.
And to know that these sensitive, vulnerable places come from way back, in times we might not even recall, brings us some agency, some way of being with our upsets that doesn't only leave us with the option of making the world wrong or people into villains. We get the chance to attend to our wounds, to pay attention to what hurts, and to take it into our own hands, our own healing.
It's so funny, you know, this feeling again, Justin, of the words, these words came out of my fingers and into the keyboard or whatever. And it's so interesting how fresh it feels, and to hear you saying the words as well. And the list of rageful, inarticulate, fierce, withdrawn, given up, like all of that, like I can feel myself kind of smirking in some way, because I feel like I'm totally kind of like busting myself, if you know what I mean, like catching myself in the act. Like, oh yeah, I feel like that. And I think somebody commented actually before we began, I can't remember, on Facebook, about a couple more things here. And obviously there's so many other things that people might feel when they're wounded, in different styles of how our personalities react to wounding. So I want to just say that this list is not exhaustive. There's probably hundreds of things that we could say about our own experience of when we feel these wounds.
When I was, I must have been 7 or 8, I set up a competition, a charity competition at school, to count the number of grains of rice in a jar. And whoever would be closest to the number of grains would win the prize. And I was so sensitive to people being hurt, that when people didn't know how many grains, I gave them all kinds of clues because I didn't want them to experience the feeling of, I suppose, of woundedness, of not knowing, because my guess is that I already knew that that was something that I felt very wounded about. So what happened, of course, was when my teacher in my school found out that I'd rigged the competition by essentially rigged it by telling the people who'd asked me how many grains of rice there were in the pot.
Had you already counted how many there were?
Oh yeah, that was the deal, was I knew how many grains there were. So
how many were there?
Oh, that's a good question. Thousands. Many.
Justin, so you'd spent all that time counting the grains as well.
Well, I got into the most terrible trouble in school for being there's a word that I'm searching for like not having any integrity.
Oh.
And I'm bringing it up right now at this moment in time, because it's a really good example for me of what you're talking about in what you wrote, which is, I know that there are times when now, when my level of hurt about what somebody will say to me, mm-hmm. somebody might make a small, they might even just be raising a question about whether I've thought something through to the end. Mm-hmm. But I actually sort of thought about all the implications.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is for me is, it took me a long time to see this, it's a reactivation of that feeling of being very small and being towered over by an adult who had much more power, who was telling me about who I was and how I was and what I'd done, and the bodily and emotional sense of it. So until knowing that the wound itself, the hurt, came from really long ago, when I found myself any of these things on your list, you know, withdrawn or rageful, or, you know, maybe somebody who really loved me would be telling me this and I'd be snapping at them.
Mm.
And neither of us then would understand what on earth was going on. How come this kind of sensitivity that I have to people asking me about whether what I'm doing has integrity or good intention behind it?
Mm.
And what was immediately happening for me when we were reading this was, I was reflecting on, not only is what happens is that our old hurts come up and we often don't know what they are, particularly if they happened, you know, ordinary things that happened when we were very small, ordinary things, was an ordinary school thing, you know, remarkable in lots of ways. How we continue to get rewounded by our old wounds so easily. And also, it's not only just us. You know, I know that when this happens with me, other people get hurt around me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're bringing me their kindest, best, most loving, have you thought about this? And I'm, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, whatever reaction I'm having. And then they're hurt because they can't understand why I would respond in this way.
Mm.
So I'm saying this because it seems, I suppose, on first reading, it might be easy. But certainly the way I get thinking about it as well, you know, don't we just have to live with our hurts and our wounds? And in a way, the answer is yes. In another way, the answer is no, we really have to get to know them, because it's not just even for our own sake, which is important enough. It's for the sake of everyone around us too. And that story from school, I realize, you know, it's one of those things which my teacher, who was a kind person, as far as I remember, she was a principled, kind, wise, warm person, was doing her best in a complicated situation where this great big thing had happened. And yet, you know, 40 years later, I can still feel it.
Yeah. And I so appreciate you saying that story, Justin, because it feels like you've outlined, like in some way, like the anatomy of a wound. Which is that I think I could say 100 times out of 100 times, we have good intentions. And of course, we don't 100% understand the world, or we can never 100% understand the people around us, the reactions people are going to have. So with all the good intentions in the world, like when you told me that story, all I was feeling is, oh my God, Justin sat there and counted like 4,000 pieces of rice. Like, who does that? Like, you know, for a little charity event or whatever. Like, I was feeling your goodness when you said that, which really touched me, that, you know, little Justin counting 4,000 grains of rice, like, that makes my whole heart hurt. And then I was thinking, oh my gosh, and you were so sensitive to people at that age that you thought, well, I don't want them to not know, so I'm just going to tell them. You know, that, like, that's what really moved me. And those are the pieces of information right then that your teacher wasn't paying attention to, or that you hadn't communicated to her because you were seven, or, you know, whatever the thing is. And this is, I think, what happens to us, is that we come with all the goodwill in the world. Like, you know, for me, it's like, you know, look at this dance I've got that I've just made up upstairs or whatever. And actually, I've come down at the point where people are talking about somebody having died and it was completely inappropriate. Therefore, I wasn't welcome in my state of euphoria at that point. And my good intention was completely unseen and rejected. Like, that would be the pattern for me. Like, I would always come in at the wrong moment with something exuberant. And my exuberance was often too much for people. So all my good intention of exuberance and making something lighter or giving a gift of something I'd made up or something was often, and not always, but often it was that my timing was off, you know. And I feel like your story, Justin, gives us a really clear way of accessing those points in our lives, which is that, you know, I had these good intentions. Something about the situation didn't allow for my good intentions to reach into the entirety of the world, i.e. some of your friends may have seen your good intention of, oh, well, I know the answer to this, how satisfying, I'm so grateful I know the answers, rather than not knowing the answers. But ultimately, the person in the position of power, your teacher, thought that you were being dishonest or something, or you didn't have integrity because you were telling people the answer rather than having them guess it, which was the structure of the game that had been set out or something. And that unseeingness of our intentions, it just really, really hurts. It's so unfair. It's so unjust. It's like, no, but you don't understand. Like, I did that because I care about people. I did that because I mind that people are hurt or not. And the system at the time didn't see you. And so many things are made of this. You know, so many arguments are made of turning up with our good intention and then not being seen. But it originates to way, 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 way back. And I think one of the reasons I find this topic so important is the part where the world is somehow mysteriously set up to bring us these things. You know, the people around us hit us in just the right spot for these things to come, for these things to resurface again. So there's some way that our worlds are individually set up, that if we could have the context that when we are feeling this, it's for a reason, that there is a purpose to these wounds being triggered, that we might look into them, which is what Rumi's trying to say, which is the wound is where the light gets in. And actually Leonard Cohen as well, the cracks are where the light gets in. Because if we would be willing to see that those cracks being made have the potential for light in them, and if we could relate to our wounds in that particular way, how does that shift our world? And as you were saying, you know, there's this perpetualness to it as well, like again and againness. What if we could find a way of looking at our wounds so that we can bring them into the light of our awareness, that we can learn what we're supposed to be learning from the people who are our teachers around us, no matter how painful those teachers might be for us? What if they're providing the exact curriculum that we need in order to heal, in order to be in our right center in the world, that we can receive them and not push everything away that isn't perfectly attuned to me, but learn from whatever isn't perfectly attuned to me, as if it is inviting me home, rather than rejecting me out of this world somehow.
That last, there's so much to respond to in what you said, but the very last thing that you said was, it certainly strikes me from my experience with this particular story, that one way we can go is, let me have the world and everybody around me be such a way that I never have to feel the hurt of that wound again. So don't say this to me, don't say that to me, don't look at me this way, don't remind me of this. And even to the extent that we end up doing things like dedicating a whole career or, you know, whatever it is, because we've got super sensitive about, sort of like hypervigilant about never feeling that thing again.
Mm.
And the other way to go with it, which I feel like I'm learning again and again and again, is instead of trying to not feel the wound, I guess I'm saying back something that you were just saying, which is learning to feel the hurt or the freeze or the, you know, whatever it is we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, like the most basic move is, can I then respond to the world as it is? You know, when somebody else who loves me is saying to me, did you think about this? Instead mm-hmm. of being thrown back into 7 years old, hurt in school, rage and, you know, whatever it is against them, which of course is so unhelpful and part of our way of transferring what's happened in the past into the present in unhelpful ways. I got struck whilst you were talking about the possibility, for example, of learning from a wound like that. One of the things we can learn is a deep kind of sensitivity to other people, which is we're all hurting so much of the time in these ways. So that's one of the ways that the light comes through is, can I now be somebody who is onto, who is attuned to mm. other people in this way? That there was something that we read in a few weeks ago when we were reading Francis Weller's work on grief, where he says, we all long for to be met by 1,000 smiling faces who say, welcome, we're so glad you're here. And that's one of the possibilities here of feeling our own wounds, is that instead of pushing everybody else away the moment they don't quite line up with exactly the way that I want to feel, we can instead welcome whatever it is that people bring us. And we can only do that by being able to feel what we feel and know something about what it is. We can't do it by this strategy of never getting hurt again and never feeling anything again. That's just a way of being of keeping the hurt going everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this, what you're saying, Justin, about our wounds also being the source of our compassion for others, and how in some way to be in touch with this woundedness and the difficulty of it and the pain. I mean, it really hurts. And I get completely blindsided as well. And, you know, one thing in my mind that I have is that at least if I could utter the words, even to myself in the loo when I'm crying kind of thing, I'm wounded, it helps me to realize that there's a wound rather than someone's doing something to me that has bad intention in it. And if I can admit, even, and sometimes I can't, you know, sometimes I feel righteous, you know, sometimes like, no, this one is not a wound, this is just right because I am being wronged in some deep, horrible way or whatever. That might be true, but it's also true that it's a wound as well. And that I know that I can do my part, which is to see it as a wound, whatever it is, that I might welcome it into some kind of light of my own awareness that then can become something of some compassionate nature rather than the dark violence of my own feelings towards myself, which actually is what's going on, is I just feel really horrible. And I totally get us wanting to avoid this, by the way. Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just avoid at all costs having to feel any of this? I mean, it's awful. But I think an invitation into feeling it and being with it and knowing that it's okay to be with it could just shift our world so massively. Because I think so many people, so many of us, we're acting out of this wound instead of acting knowing it's there or something like that. You know, it's like we're acting from it as if it's directly true or something, instead of a harking back to something original in our makeup, in our formation of our little personalities when we're little. So I feel like this is a big turning towards life, a big part of it, and a big part of our being responsible and feeling empowered in our own lives is turning towards this stuff that feels like we hold it at bay so much, like like you're saying, like I have a whole job that stops me from feeling all that stuff, or I create a life that doesn't, you know, allow me to be in contact with those things. If I might turn towards it, how does that make my compassion a different kind of compassion? How does it have my relationships be different? How does it like actually reduce conflict even? You know, the amount of conflict I'm in my life. So I feel like it's a really, really important one, and being aware and having the strength in the moment, which is so difficult, to say I'm wounded and for a minute let down my fight, let down my defenses, let down my self-protection, let down all the ways that I'm trying to push away the experience or the person who's wounding me, and to be vulnerable enough to say I'm wounded here, and I need some time to understand this and study this a little bit, is a really different world.
I found it really helpful to say to myself, well, first of all, to learn, pay attention over time to what it feels like, this kind of hurt, so that I can, yeah. I mean, this thing we're getting on to talking about, that it's quite possible to build a whole life out of not feeling this. Mm-hmm. It's really an extraordinary thing, and it's true, to build a life where I never have to be embarrassed, or where nobody will ever ask me a question about my integrity, or where I'll never have to, nobody will laugh, or, you know, any of these things.
Yeah.
So, and it was striking me whilst you were talking, Lizzie, that, you know, one route for dealing with this is to go back and sort of excavate and try and find all the places. And like, I know this story about being in school because I remember it, but there are 100 or 1,000 other moments that I don't remember. Mm. And it seems to me it can be helpful to do that. But the more immediate thing that it's helpful to do is to know when, is to know what it feels like to be in a reactivated wound. Like, you know, like somebody you've got, I always think that this is a little bit like having like a cut on your leg that hasn't healed and somebody pokes it.
Mm.
Just what this is. And you, and then you're responding to that. So to know what it feels like and be able to be prepared to feel it, like you're saying, and to be able to say, even this hurts, and then to wonder, does it hurt in proportion to what's actually happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the biggest liberations for me, is to get, and you said this earlier, that, you know, I think now and again we come across people who do want to hurt us. Of course it happens, but mostly, vast majority of the time, we feel hurt by people who really love us, because, not because they're trying to hurt us, but because they're, you know, trying to take care of us or say something that's true, and we're hurt because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just echoing what you're saying. I found this too, that being able to say to myself, gosh, this really hurts,
mm-hmm.
is the pathway to wondering how to be in this, how can I stay in relationship with myself and with this other person and not flee, mm-hmm. or not try and push it down.
Mm-hmm. And also, Justin, it feels like one of the things as well to do is possibly bring this to a safe place. And I feel like this, because sometimes it doesn't feel safe to bring it to the person who, lots of times, most of the time, doesn't feel safe to bring it to the person who's hurt us. And so the space in which something can be healed is often not the place where the wounding happened. And sometimes it is. If that is possible, that's amazing. But often it's not. People may have died even. And we also might not be in a relationship that feels, you know, if it's happening inside of a close, close relationship, the person that we're with might not be the person to say that we're wounded to. But to, for me, that this group and this, the way that we're doing this, is part of, you know, how do we create community that is safe in order for people to share and bring their wounds into, that's a safe processing place where we're not all personally invested in it and we're not wounded in the particular same family system or whatever, but that we find another place to process these things too that is safe, that we can work through these things together in a safe way, because that feels like it's filled with way more possibility than just keeping kind of going around on my own and then being wounded in the same way again, but bringing it to some kind of third place, which again, you know, I keep finding new ways of saying what a third space is, which is our organization, our entity in the world, our name in the world. And it feels like that's the gift of the third space, is that it doesn't have the original constellation in it, where the wound got made or the wound got re-triggered, but that we can find a way of being with one another so that this stuff can come to the light and we can be the light for those wounds as well to be brought to. That feels like a big part of the meaning of this for me.
One of the ways that one of the things that we can discover when we have this conversation with people who aren't in, like you're saying, in our immediate constellation, is finding out that everyone's hurt. Because one of the big traps in this is feeling like it's only me. I'm the only one. It's all coming at me. I'm the center of things. And when we find out that everyone, this is an inevitable part of the human condition. It's inevitable. Whoever raised us, whoever was around us, there were ways in which we didn't get seen in exactly the way, you know, there are more extreme and more tiny ways, but they're all ways in which we didn't get seen at a point where it felt really important to be seen. When we know that we're all hurting like this, we have so much more of a chance of being in relationship with one another. And that's the, you know, sort of the broader society thing that seems so, is really on my mind at the moment, is how do we stop holding the other responsible for our hurts? I'm hurting because of those, you know, I'm hurting because of those people, what they're doing in the world. That's why I'm hurting. No, first of all, I'm hurting because I'm hurting, because that's what it is to be human. When we can turn that way, I love this point that you made, that that's one of the ways in which the light comes through, is that we, our wounds are both the place where we can judge and dismiss and rage against and dehumanize other people so that we can feel better. But they're also the place in which we can learn a really deep kind of compassion. And it's a lifetime's work. For sure. This is all of the work of a lifetime, is to be able to do this. It's not like just because we know about this, suddenly we become, you know, open to everything kind of people or anything like that. But it seems to me so important. It's certainly work that I know I feel more and more dedicated to.
It's such an important conversation. I feel really, as we're talking about it, I feel connected in to so much more of the world just in the conversation about it, and the possibility that we might be all together in this. Because certainly when I'm feeling all these feelings in my wounds, I don't feel connected to anyone. I feel like completely on my own and like a tragic case of a human who doesn't, you know, have any capacity to connect or reach out. But then when I do, the light does get in, for sure. You know, and I know that one thing I do have is a way to connect to other people in the difficulties of my life. Thank God I have that. And it would be desperate without that. And I'm really, really feeling glad of this that we're doing, Justin, in service of bringing all this stuff into the light and into normalness as well. You know, that it's not extraordinary to feel all this. It's actually just, as you say, what it is to be a human being, is to feel these things and to be wounded and to have difficulty. It's like, and the more you know that because you've brought it into community, the less weird you feel, the less disconnected you feel, and the less like an alien you feel for having these, what are kind of known as like totally unacceptable things of being rageful or something. And so we just pretend it's not happening, put our kind of social faces on as if everything's fine. And to normalize these things feels so crucial to our happiness and well-being and relationships and work, everything.
I suspect that this is a topic that we will come back to because there's so much more for us to talk about this, about how we continue to wound ourselves and the unkindness and harshness we bring our own way from being wounded. And I'm getting really fascinated by this question about how we build lives in order to avoid this. And I'm even, Lizzie, thinking about, I'm beginning to muse about how whole institutions and organizations get made as a way of trying not to feel wounds. This is so brilliant that we're being joined quietly.
It's a bit of work. Christopher's doing a bit of work.
Christopher's coming very quietly. This is a huge and important topic that we're just beginning here, and maybe we'll circle back in the weeks and months to come.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
So this has been glorious talking with you this morning, and knowing we've been joined by other people. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's taking part in this wild experiment we're doing and hanging on in with us. It's a real joy that you're with us. We have, in the last week, launched a YouTube channel where you can catch up on all the archive of these talks. So you may be watching this on the YouTube channel now, or if you're in our Facebook group, we'll post again how you can get there. And we are planning, all being well, to be back next Sunday morning with something else. So I'm going to say goodbye. Say thank you to everyone for being with us.
Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year.